Well, hello again, everyone. It's good to see you this evening. There's a story of a Sunday school who was putting on a Christmas pageant of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. One young boy really wanted to play the part of Joseph, but got the role of the innkeeper instead. He did fine during rehearsal, but he decided he was going to try to pull a fast one during the play. And during the play, Mary and Joseph walked up to the door in the inn and knocked, and the innkeeper opened the door and gruffly asked them what they wanted. Joseph said, "We'd like a room for the night." The innkeeper then threw open the door and said, "Sure, come on in. You can have the best room in the house." Joseph was thrown off a little bit, but was quick on his feet. He stepped forward, looked inside the door, and then he said, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, we're going to the barn." The play was back on track. Many have tried to alter the plan that God has, but it just can't be done. Tonight, we celebrate something amazing. Tonight, we celebrate something life-changing. Tonight, we celebrate love that is beyond measure. Hope beyond our wildest dreams. Peace beyond our understanding. And joy that is immeasurable. Tonight, we celebrate something special. As we look at this special day that we come together to celebrate, what do we know about it? Some try hard to take away any connection that we celebrate. I heard some say over the years, they try to explain that Christmas really had nothing to do with Christ. Whereas it may be true that we don't know the exact birth date of Christ, but it doesn't take away the least bit of what Christmas is all about, and that he did indeed come. I believe many of those negative attitudes about Christmas are symptoms of something deep within, some kind of turmoil maybe, or maybe a fear of the truth. But if you look at history, God has been orchestrating something wonderful. Over the last couple of Sundays, I've been pointing out to the fact in our congregation that if you look at Scripture, it's important not to gloss over certain aspects of what is being said. Because what is revealed can be fascinating and affirming in what a loving God we serve. Even in the midst of evil at work around us, acting out of people's own free will, God is still orchestrating something. Just look at just the first few words from our first sentence in the gospel reading tonight. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Why is that important? Who was Caesar Augustus? Yes, it does date the passage that we're reading, but there's more to it than that. First, we need to understand that Caesar Augustus is not a name, it's a title. His name was Octavian, the grandson of Julius Caesar, where the title Caesar came from. Rome was split between three factions that resulted in wars and turmoils and famines and total disarray. And finally, Octavian won out, bringing an end to all that turmoil and brought peace to the land. An accomplishment, but also he became power hungry. Octavian convinced the Senate of Rome to drop the Republic and set himself up as the supreme ruler over the Roman Empire with the title Augustus, the Exalted One. Caesar Augustus became the first emperor of Rome. The call for a census was not just to count people. It was to establish that everyone should be taxed. The execution of that decree brought to fulfillment what God had ordained. God's timing is always perfect. His son would be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. And so it happened just as God said it would. God's hand is unfolding history right before our eyes, and some don't even know it. I believe God wants to get our attention, to reveal something that is fantastic. just as much as he wanted those shepherds to hear this wonderful news. Picture these guys out in the fields doing what shepherds do. Watching over the flock, protecting them, tending to them, making sure they stay together, maybe sharing some stories to stay awake. Then this event happens. Angels appear, and we hear this account. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Now, this announcement to these shepherds is unique, so special. I think it's special that we have a baby crying at this particular time. Don't leave. And it carries with it a precious meaning. We have to understand that this announcement began right back in the book of Genesis when God promised to crush Satan. Then as the years unfolded, there have been prophecies after prophecies telling the same story. The Messiah is going to come. The Redeemer will deliver us. We read about it tonight in Isaiah, who speaks of it many times. But you can also go to Deuteronomy, Daniel, the Psalms, Malachi. These prophetic words that have been unfolding over the centuries, announcing the coming of the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer. The great thing about these prophetic words is that they all came true. It was a virgin birth. The Messiah's birth would come from the line of David. Both Mary and Joseph, although not the physical father, both came from the line of David. Again, his birth in Bethlehem. Then we come to these shepherds. Why them? David, if you remember, was a shepherd prior to becoming king of Israel. Jesus was a shepherd of people, is a shepherd of people, bringing a flock back to God. I could go on and on and just looking at the facts in history to show what a remarkable event this is. Some learned investigators and legal minds like Lee Strobel and Josh McDowell have set out to try to discredit everything there is in the Bible. And what they found instead was a loving God. And as a result, their own lives were dedicated to Christ as they were searching to discredit what they thought was false. If God is real, and he is, as hard as you may try, you cannot discredit him. So we can look at this evidence and we can see why we celebrate this wonderful day that we call Christmas. So what would we have today if Christ did not come into the world? If it was not about Christ? If Christ did not come, there would not have been a certain bishop in Myra in 300 AD whose name was Nicholas. The Christmas tree and the lights and the star and the angels all have references to Christian symbols. And the announcement of Christ, the light of the world, the star leading the way, the angels making their announcements. You see, most everything that we do this time of year is in fact directly related to the biggest birth announcement in the history of the world. If this announcement wasn't any big deal, it would have died centuries ago. Tonight would be just December 24th. But it is a big deal. It's huge. But listen to this. If all we do here is celebrate, we've missed something. If all we do is take the symbols of Christmas and all the beautiful trimmings, and we've missed something. Because folks, this event has not only stood the test of time, it has transcended time. This event has changed countless lives over the 2,000 plus years. Many look around them and they ask, where is the love? Where is the hope? Where is the peace? Where is the joy? All kinds of issues and all kinds of conditions can affect our personal perspective on what love, hope, peace, and joy are. It can be global, it can be local, it can be personal. Christ came into this world for one reason and one reason only, so that our lives can be made right with God. As Paul says to Titus, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And because of that, I can testify to you that 40 years ago this year, I got on my knees and received Christ as my personal Savior. Not in my head. There was a heart change that shook me that night. You see, each of us is born with this sense of need that has to be filled. And we will try to fill it with all sorts of stuff in all sorts of ways. We also go through all kinds of issues that life throws our way. Issues that hurt us. Issues that grieve us. Issues that anger us. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has felt every one of those issues. A part of this message, his message was to allow him, through the Holy Spirit, to carry that burden. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You may say, "Well, I'm not much into religion." I want to make this clear. And I've said this many, many times to this congregation. Those of you who are not visitors are going to hear it again. The Episcopal denomination is not a religion. The Baptist, Roman, Presbyterian, Mennonite, Assemblies of God, Independent or Mainline, and every truly Christian denomination is not about religion. It's about a relationship, a real personal relationship. It is about walking in that relationship with a loving God who has come to us, has taken our sins upon himself, and offered us new life. Tonight we celebrate the joy and the wonderment of God that for a short period of time stepped down out of heaven and came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He didn't have to do it. But he loved us so much that he wanted to do it. That today, among all the events that intertwine in our lives, among all the issues that life throws our way, among all the trials and tribulations that we go through, there is one event that has changed the course of history, and it is changing history today. This celebration will never die, no matter how hard many may try. Christmas will always bring the love of God. He brought hope that wells up from inside in knowing that he is with us and he will return. He brings peace in the heart where there seems to be none anywhere else. And he fills us with the joy of his Spirit. A joy that has been ringing through history in knowing that God is with us. Nothing can change history. Another thing about Octavian, he was a man who wanted to rule the world. In his day, he did in his world. His name can only now be found in the pages of history if you look hard enough. Jesus, the Savior of the world, still lives. His name is a name above all names, and his Spirit lives within all who call on him. Nothing can change the reality of Christ, of who he is, and what he has done for us. The only thing that changes is our own heart as we open up to allow him in. Let us rejoice and celebrate this great event tonight. Let us praise him for what he has done for us. Let us give thanks for the blessing and the honor it is to enter into his presence. May Christ always, always be with you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful night as we celebrate you coming to us in human form, to take our sins upon yourself, to heal us to bring wholeness. And Father, if there's anybody here tonight who has never really felt that or who is searching for that, Lord, I ask that you would speak to their heart now and become real in their heart, just as you became real to me 40 years ago. So, Father, I ask that you would move by your Spirit through this place and through places all over the world, Lord, as they come together, whether they're sitting under a tree or sitting in a cathedral. Lord, you bring your Spirit to them as they open their hearts to you, as we celebrate this wonderful, wonderful thing you have done for us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.